The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always.
If you have your Bibles this morning, be turning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This will be the majority of our text this morning. We're going to start the sermon this morning with a reading of this text. And when we read through this text, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of these great men and women of faith. This, of course, is the Hall of Fame of faith. These people in this chapter that are mentioned did wonderful things for the Lord. But tying in the scripture reading this morning, David was called a man after God's own heart. David is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And when I think of David, I think of a man who was faithful but was imperfect. David was a man who had faults. And so I want you to think about Hebrews chapter 11 and think about these wonderful people this morning and think about their faults, because each one of them had faults. Not a one of them was perfect, but they were trying their best. And the key is, when they realized they had made mistakes, they understood that and they repented of those things. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured it as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, without which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All these wonderful men and women of faith in the Old Testament, men who had given up their lives for God, men who had conquered God's enemies, men who had done wonderful things, and not a one of them was perfect. This morning, we're going to look through this passage. Like I said, put yourself in the shoes of this passage. Imagine if you were one of these great men or women of faith examining your life. Think about this. We've all got faults. But this passage gives us hope. Think about the sins that are found in this list of people. But they had hope, and they could be faithful. We back up to Hebrews chapter 10. The end of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 through 39, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." You go back into the world, you leave walking in the light, and you go away from Christ, you leave the light of His Word, then God's not going to have pleasure in you. You draw back. "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Do you believe to the saving of your soul this morning? That's the question that all of us must ask ourselves, because it's not just about believing, it's about believing to the point that we follow through with obedience. And like these good men and women that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, when we do find faults in our lives, we correct those things. We're going to first discuss Hebrews chapter 11, the faithful feats of this chapter. If you like alliteration this morning, I think you'll like my first 2 points. And then I'm going to ruin your day with the last point, because there's no alliteration in that point. But the faithful feats of Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to think about what we just read. Think about all the wonderful things that are described in this passage. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see an excellent sacrifice. In fact, a more excellent sacrifice, verse number 4, with Abel. Abel had offered what God told him to offer rather than what Cain offered, which was not what God had commanded. It was a more excellent sacrifice, showing the need to worship the way that God has asked us to worship. We also see a man who pleased God so much that God said, "You're not going to have to die. I'm going to translate you. I'm going to take you directly from a state of living on this earth, and I'm going to take you directly. You're not going to have to experience the pains of death." That was Enoch, verse number 5. Amazing. What a wonderful man Enoch must have been. We also see a man who followed God's instructions to prepare an ark to the saving of his household. Verse number 7. What if Noah had not obeyed God's instructions? What if he was willing to sacrifice his very family because he selfishly decided he didn't want to obey God? We also see in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8, 17 through 19, a man who forsook his homeland, his familiar territory, and he went and he sojourned in an unknown territory, a place where God would show him, a place where a promise would be given to him, Abraham. He also prepared to sacrifice his only son, through which God had said that promise would be given. And the only reasonable explanation for that we see right in the text of Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham understood that even if he did go through with that sacrifice, that God would raise Isaac back up and still deliver the promise to Abraham. We see Sarah, a woman who trusted God that he would give her a son in her old age. And even though she was feeble and weak in her old age, God still allowed the son to be born through her, verse 11. We see men who trusted God to carry out that blessing, the promise to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, verses 20 and 21. We see that they understood that that blessing was coming. They knew it was coming. They had faith. They couldn't see the blessing in physical nature. They didn't see it in a physical manifestation as Jesus Christ actually coming in the flesh. They didn't get to see that, but they knew He was coming. Verse 22, we see a man who trusted that his descendants would be delivered into the land of Canaan. And thus he requested that his bones would be brought there and buried there, Joseph, because he wanted to be placed in the land of promise. We also see a man who was first rescued himself from being killed by Pharaoh, and he ended up rescuing the Israelites, with God's help, of course, from slavery. Moses, verses 23 through 29. We see a man, although he's not specifically mentioned, we know that he's implied here in verse 30, who led the Israelites to the victory over Jericho. Joshua. We see a woman from Jericho who saved her household by harboring the Israelite spies. Verse 31, Rahab. We also see glimpses of other men and women who were faithful. We see great men of faith like Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets who endured all sorts of things. Some of the prophets were sawn asunder because they would not relent in preaching the true message of God rather than what the men and women wanted to hear. All of these people had important roles to play in the grand scheme of the Bible, and not a one of them was perfect. The sordid sins of Hebrews chapter 11. Sordid, the idea of dirty, ignoble, distasteful, contemptible. I want you to listen to this list of sins that we can find associated with these people in Hebrews chapter 11. It's amazing that these people ended up being faithful even though they were involved in some of these horrible things. The first sin that we can think about in Hebrews chapter 11 is not mentioned, but it is implied. Thinking about the sacrifice that Abel gave to God, the more perfect, the more excellent sacrifice, why was that sacrifice required? Because Abel had sinned. We don't know what sins were in Abel's life, but we know he wasn't perfect, and we know that he had to offer sacrifices because of sin in his life. And so Abel was not perfect. We see sins like drunkenness and indecent exposure. Noah. You remember when Noah got off the ark and he planted a vineyard? He partook of the wine from the vineyard, and even good old Noah made a mistake. We see lying. Lying that Sarah was his sister rather than his wife. That would be Abraham. Not once, but twice Abraham did this as he was passing through the various lands of sojourning. He would see kings that would see that his wife Sarah was fair to look upon. And so in order to save his skin, he'd say, "Oh yeah, she's just my sister." Can you imagine that? A man with the faith of Abraham, but yet he had a weak moment and he was scared and he said, "Oh yeah, she's just my sister." And what if those kings had taken Sarah to be a wife or a concubine? Abraham wasn't perfect. We see again, we see laughing at the prospect that God would give Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age. You look back through the text in Genesis, you'll see that both Abraham and Sarah at first laughed at God. They couldn't believe that this was going to happen, but their faith developed so that they did eventually believe and they did obey and they trusted God that God would bring them Isaac. We see again lying with Isaac, lying that Rebekah was his sister. I wonder where he learned that from. Again, Rebekah being a beautiful lady, and Isaac also sojourning through the land, and these kings are taking notice of his beautiful wife, and he says, "Oh yeah, she's my sister." Isaac did the same thing his dad did. It's amazing. We think about being a conniving and flat-out no-good brother, tricking his brother, and tricking the father out of Esau's birthright. That would be Jacob. Disobeying God's command to speak to the rock. Rather, he struck the rock. Of course, Moses at Meribah in the wilderness. We even see harlotry. Rahab, the harlot. But yet she acted in faith when she brought those spies through and harbored them in the overtaking of Jericho. We see cowardice, Gideon. We see giving in to the pressures of a seductress, Delilah, that of course being Samson, so that he revealed the source of his strength, and he suffered the consequence of that, didn't he? We also see an absolutely foolish vow, Jephthah. Jephthah, you might remember in Judges, was the one who said, "God, if you just allow me to win the victory, I'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out the door to meet me on the way home." And that was his daughter, his only daughter. Completely foolish vow. But Jephthah is mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith. We see an adulterer and a murderer in David. We see a father who seems to very likely have neglected the idea of raising his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Samuel. because his sons did not follow in his footsteps. They perverted justice. They did not follow in their father's ways. We see all these sins, problems. So, what's the point? The point is that all of these great heroes of the faith were imperfect, and that God can use anybody to accomplish His will. These people all had flaws. They all messed up. There were times in their lives when they lived in sin. But here's the key. They didn't remain in sin. This in and of itself is strong evidence that the Bible is from God. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. The Bible doesn't hold up its heroes as perfect people. We look at some of these other religions and the Greek and Roman gods, and we see these heroes. These, basically, they say that these men are gods themselves, and they glorify them, and they show just how perfect they were. They don't show their faults in many cases. The Bible shows that even the most faithful were not perfect, and they had faults. The Bible does not glamorize its heroes. It doesn't try to hide their imperfections. Rather, it exposes their imperfections. David, a man after God's own heart, was exposed as being a murderer and an adulterer. But again, he didn't stay that way. He repented. This serves as an amazing example in showing us that just like David could learn a better way, we can learn a better way. We don't have to remain in sin. And so the key for us too to be considered the faithful, like this hall of fame of faith, is that we must realize when we have done wrong, we must repent, we must confess that, and we must do better in the future. Again, the people in the Hall of Fame of Faith, every one of them was imperfect. But they did not just accept their imperfections and not try to work on them. They didn't just continue to wallow in the mires of sin. They picked themselves up, they cleaned themselves, and they got back to work doing what was right. They did not let their sin define them. David could have went down in history as just being a murderer and an adulterer, but he didn't. He didn't let those two things define him. He grew after that. He got himself back up, and he started living faithfully. And we see the rest of the story with David. We think about Saul, who became Paul in the New Testament. He could have been remembered as just a murderer of Christians, but he saw the light, literally. And he did what was right. He obeyed the gospel, and he continued faithfully. One of the greatest apostles who ever lived, in my estimation. All of these people ought to serve as an example to all of us that we cannot let sin define us. We can't just say, oh, well, you know, I struggle with this, and so, you know, overall I'm a good person, but, you know, this is my struggle here, and surely God will overlook this, and I'll keep on living in this sin, and surely God will overlook that because everything else measures up pretty well. Is that how forgiveness works? It's not. We must realize our faults, but we must continually strive to improve on those and get rid of those faults. Strive for perfection. When an imperfect person strives for perfection, strives to be faithful, strives to be what God wants him to be, then he's headed in the right direction. We cannot accept the sins that we struggle with and use that as an excuse not to follow God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. On the contrary, we ought to look at our own imperfections, and that ought to motivate us. We look at the things that we struggle with and realize that those are the very things that sent Christ to the cross. We ought to look to those things and say, you know what, that ought to motivate me to try my best to do better, to live for Him, to pick up my cross daily and follow Him. It ought to motivate us to appreciate God's grace and desire a stronger relationship with God. Which brings us to the topic of repentance. All these people, described as having great faith, living faithfully, had one thing in common, and that is they all repented. We don't see these people continuing to be immoral people who just constantly lived in sin and wallowed in the mire. Again, we see them pick themselves back up. Hence the reason that they're mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. These people were righteous people who occasionally made mistakes. When you become a Christian, that doesn't mean that all of the sudden you're not going to struggle anymore. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're just never going to sin. You're going to struggle. There are going to be times when you mess up, but you don't remain in the wallow and the mire. You have to pick yourself back up, dust yourself off, and do better. That's what Christianity is all about. And when you think about it, when you arise from the watery grave of baptism and you arise a new creature, think about that. That's when Satan wants you the most. Because here is somebody who was not safe. They were in danger of being condemned, and now they're not. Satan wants that person because he's already got most of the rest of the world. But the good news is that when we do sin after we become a Christian, God tells us how to correct that. We need to repent. We need to confess the sin, whether that be confessing it to God, of course, but also confessing sin when it's public and everybody knows it. We need to confess and acknowledge that we are not going to do that anymore. And we must ask God for forgiveness. Acts 8:22 and 1 John 1:9. And if need be, we need to ask our brethren for forgiveness as well. Lastly, today, I want us to consider what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, describing the former life of the Corinthians, who he is describing as being in a saved relationship with God. He describes their former life. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But then he says this, "And such were some of you." Past tense. He says, that was your former life. But now you're a Christian. And so continue to be faithful. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Washed, cleansed, sanctified, set apart as holy for God, and justified. Just as if I had never sinned, God has justified me. He's given me grace that I don't deserve. Justified. Don't be defined by your sins. Don't continue to wallow in the sin. Be faithful like the men and the women that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Be washed. Be sanctified. Be justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you washed and sanctified and justified this morning? If you're a Christian, you are. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But remember this, if you're a Christian, don't just take that for granted and go back. Don't draw back to the perdition. But rather believe to the saving of the soul, which means that you believe with all your heart that God will save you, and that results in you obeying so that He will save you. If you're a Christian this morning, continue faithfully. And if you're not a Christian this morning, determine right now that you're going to become a Christian by putting on Christ in baptism this morning, being buried in that water, having your sins washed away, Acts 22:16, and rising up to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. Living faithfully, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Living faithfully unto death. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, please do so as together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.